This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let's recap about last time. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after having a difficult experience in Ta'if, having lost his wife and his uncle, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a journey to Ta'if in order to call the people to Islam, and he received a very negative reception. Was a very negative reception. His life. So the Prophet ﷺ then was offered a great gift by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A great gift by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like, mashallah, my voice with the mic is not able to overcome the voices of the brothers. The younger generation. Some people are still talking, mashallah. Carry on, guys, carry on. Carry on. So the Prophet ﷺ was given a great gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this gift was the journey of Al-Isra and Al-Mi'raj, being able or being taken in one night to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa and then ascending to the heavens, meeting the Prophets, peace be upon them, and meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we said that there was another gift as well, since the people of Mecca were still resistant to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a meeting with the jinn, because they passed by him as he was reciting Quran, a group of them, and they believed. So then they approached the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, requested him to speak to them directly, because they brought some other jinn. And they wanted them to listen to the Quran from the Prophet ﷺ directly. And the Prophet ﷺ approached them, and they asked some fiqhi questions to the Prophet ﷺ. So at this time, the Prophet ﷺ, despite going through all these hardships, difficult times, and yet being busy with a lot of this, you know, these experiences, the Prophet ﷺ never compromised on his duty to convey the message. So he would still approach the pilgrims, the merchants who came to the different markets that they were established, like Uqaz and Mijanna and Dil Majaz, all of these markets. So the Prophet ﷺ would approach them. So Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he says the Prophet ﷺ spent 10 years approaching people who are coming to Mecca from outside, from other cities, from around the Arabian Peninsula. These are the Arabs who came from south, the east of the Arabian Peninsula, and the north of the Arabian Peninsula. They all used to come to Mecca for Hajj pilgrimage. They used to come for trade and business. The Prophet ﷺ would approach them. What would he approach them with? Calling them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But towards the last few years, the Prophet ﷺ would approach them to seek protection. He would seek protection. He would say, who would give me protection so I can convey the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because Quraysh have prohibited me or stopped me from conveying the message. So that's what the Prophet ﷺ would offer them. He usually would recite some Quran to them, show them what the essence of Islam is, what the message of Islam is, and then the Prophet ﷺ would ask for protection. So the Prophet ﷺ spoke to so many people. And every time the Prophet ﷺ spoke, we said mostly his uncle would be behind him, which was Abu Lahab. And he would be warning these Arabs against the Prophet ﷺ, that he's one of us, we know him, I'm his uncle, he's a liar, he's a charlatan, and so on and so forth, trying to give the Prophet ﷺ a bad reputation and even make it hard for people. Even if people seriously considered listening to the Prophet ﷺ, after establishing such an atmosphere about the Prophet ﷺ, it was politically difficult to sit with the Prophet ﷺ and listen to him. Especially that people knew who Abu Lahab was, one of the main people, one of the main leaders in Mecca. So one day the Prophet ﷺ is approaching people, and then a man from the tribe of Hamdan approaches the Prophet ﷺ. So this man asks the Prophet ﷺ, what do you call to? The Prophet ﷺ explained to him what Islam was about. And the Prophet ﷺ says to him, Mimman anta. Today we're going to give some examples of how it felt like approaching the Arab tribes, how it felt. So we're going to take two scenes from the life of the Prophet ﷺ, how he approached these Arab tribes, what did he offer them, what was the response to him. So we're going to take the conversations, I'm going to read them in Arabic and translate as I am reading. So this man, the Prophet ﷺ says, "Mimman anta?" Who are you from? Which tribe you come from? He says, "Min Hamdan." I'm from Hamdan. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فهل عند قومك من منع? Do you people have strength enough to protect me? قال الرجل نعم. The person said, "Yes, indeed." So the man sort of gave an agreement to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that we would give you protection. My tribe would give you protection. Then the narration goes, ثم إن الرجل خشي أن يحقره قومه فأتى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Then the man, it seems the man had second thoughts. He thought his people might not honor his word and his agreement with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. So he came back to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and said, فقال آتيهم فأخبرهم ثم آتيك من عام قابل. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم نعم فانطلق. So he came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and he said, I have to go to my people and check with them. I have to double check with them, make sure they agree to that. Then I will come to you next year and then I will give you the answer. The Prophet ﷺ said, yes, no problem. Then the man left. Now there are lessons here. First, it shows that giving protection and support to Muhammad ﷺ became a very difficult task, because it's politically dangerous. Who wants to take a position of enmity against Quraysh? Quraysh were considered to be the most noble among the Arabs. Everyone looked up to them. Everyone respected them. Everyone wanted peace with them. People avoided enmity and war with Quraysh. Why? Because they were the custodians of Al-Kaaba. So no one wanted to be prevented or prohibited from making Hajj. And by virtue of the Hajj and of the Kaaba, there was a lot of, as we said, trade and business seasons. And there were huge markets. And these were business opportunities for all of the other tribes to come and sell things and buy things and make money. So if someone had enmity with Quraysh or were not in good terms with Quraysh, the problem is these people might be denied access to all of these things, all of these privileges. So for someone to give support to the Prophet ﷺ and go against Quraysh, that would be a very difficult stance to take, a huge risk to take. So this made it even difficult, more difficult for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But it shows that the Arabs were still like scared of the anger of Quraysh. They didn't want to incite any kind of enmity with Quraysh. But during this time, bear in mind now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is somehow lonely. Khadija was a great support to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Was a huge support to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every time he had an issue, he would go straight to his best friend, and this was Khadija. Radiallahu anha. The Prophet ﷺ would not go to like some of other companions, some of the people that are closest to him. Every time he had something, he needed a listening ear, he needed someone to tap on his shoulder, someone to give him a cuddle and a hug, a shoulder to cry on, someone to support him. He would straight go. The first choice was Khadija radiallahu anha. The Prophet ﷺ had many friends. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, you know, was a close friend of the Prophet ﷺ even before receiving Islam, even before receiving the message. There was another business partner of the Prophet ﷺ that was very close to him. He grew up with him. His name was Sa'ib ibn Abi Sa'ib. Yet the Prophet ﷺ would not go to him. He would go to Khadija radiallahu anha. But now Khadija is not there anymore. So you can tell that the Prophet ﷺ at this time was feeling lonely. And he had four daughters to take care of. So, during this period in the life of the Prophet ﷺ, he sees a dream. He sees a dream that Jibreel approaches the Prophet ﷺ in the dream. And we know, as the Prophet ﷺ says, رؤيا الأنبياء حق. The dreams of prophets are true. What does that mean? It means they are revelation from Allah. They are revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whatever the Prophet ﷺ sees, that's a revelation. So if there is a command in it, it's a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there's a prophecy, something about the future, it's true, it's going to happen. So the Prophet ﷺ sees Jibreel approaching him, and he has in his hand a person wrapped in silk. So the Prophet ﷺ asks him, he says, "What's this in your hand?" And he says, "That's your wife." Then the Prophet ﷺ uncovers that person who is shrouded in the hands of Jibreel. And the Prophet ﷺ was narrating the story actually to Aisha radiallahu anha later on. He says, so he tells her, فَإِذَا هِيَ أَنْتِ. It turns out the person in the hands of Jibreel, covered and shrouded in silk, it was you, Aisha radiallahu anha. Because the Prophet ﷺ knew her, because he was very close with Abu Bakr, her father. So the Prophet ﷺ, when he saw this dream, he said, إن كان هذا من عند الله يمضيه. If this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah is going to make it happen. Allah is going to make it happen. Now, around this time, again, a woman approaches the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Her name is Khawla bint Hakim. Khawla bint Hakim, she's a wise woman, and she's the wife of Uthman ibn Mad'un. Uthman ibn Mad'un, one of the early Muslims. His wife is Khawla bint Hakim. She approaches the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she says, يا رسول الله ألا تزوج O Messenger of Allah, don't you want to get married? Like Khadija passed away, may Allah have mercy upon her, رضي الله عنها. Don't you have any thought? Don't you have any intention to get married? The Prophet ﷺ says, "Men, who are you suggesting?" That's a way to suggest marriage. Okay, it's a suggestive way. قالت إن شئت بكرا وإن شئت ثيبا. If you wish, there is a virgin woman, but if you And there's also another choice, a woman who's been married before. So the Prophet ﷺ says, من البكر فمن البكر? Who's the virgin? She says, ابنة أحب خلق الله عز وجل إليك. The daughter of the person that you love the most. Abu Bakr, رضي الله عنه. عائشة بنت أبي بكر. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, ومن الثيب? And who's the woman who had been married before? قالت سودة بنت زمعة. سودة بنت زمعة قد آمنت بك she believed in you واتبعتك على ما تقول and she followed your guidance she's a Muslim قال صلى الله عليه وسلم فاذهبي فاذكريها علي the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says go and approach her so خولة بنت حكيم goes to first the wife of Abu Bakr أم رومان so she goes She enters the house of Abu Bakr and she speaks to Umm Rawman. فقالت يا أم رومان ما أدخل الله عليكم من الخير والبركة. She says, you know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending you away so much blessings and goodness. قالت أم رومان وما ذاك? What is this? What are you talking about? قالت أرسلني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أخطب عليه عائشة. The messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم sent me to seek your daughter Aisha in marriage. قالت أم رومان انتظري أبا بكر حتى يأتي. So her mother said, wait until Abu Bakr comes back. فجاء أبو بكر فقالت يا أبا بكر ماذا أدخل الله عليكم من الخير والبركة. She said, Abu Bakr, when he came back, she said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has offered you, has put so much blessings and goodness on your way. He says, وما ذاك? What's this? قالت أرسلني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أخطب عليه عائشة. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم sent me to seek عائشة in marriage. قال أبو بكر وهل تصلح له؟ إنما هي ابنة أخيه. Abu Bakr is surprised. He says, and would she be good for him? She's the daughter of his brother. The Prophet Abu Bakr thought that the status of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is much higher than this. He just thought maybe. Like the Prophet ﷺ needed a woman that's much more noble, that has higher status. فرجعت إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. So خولة بنت حكيم goes back to the Prophet ﷺ. فذكرت له ذلك. She tells him the story. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم ارجعي إليه فقولي أنا أخوك وأنت أخي في الإسلام وابنتك تصلح لي. The Prophet ﷺ said, go back to Abu Bakr and tell him you are my brother and I am your brother and your daughter is good for me as a wife. فرجعت فذكرت ذلك. So she went back to Abu Bakr and she tells him the whole story. قال أبو بكر انتظري. Abu Bakr says, hold on. There's something in the mind of Abu Bakr now. Something he wants to clarify. وخرج and he leaves the house. قالت أم رومان. Now his wife is going to explain to خولة what the story is. She can read her husband. Imagine now, Abu Bakr didn't tell his wife anything. He didn't say, I'm going here or there, I'm going to do this or that. He just said, hold on a minute, and then he leaves. He leaves the house. Now his wife automatically understands what he's talking about, what he intends. And that's actually, these are the characteristics of a good wife. A good wife, you don't have to explain the details to her. From the way she sees you, she understands, oh, I know what happened to you today, right? Oh, she sees something, I know what you're going through. I know what emotions you're experiencing now. I know what's upsetting you now. That's a sign of a good wife. It doesn't happen over time. It doesn't happen suddenly, but it happens over time. It's a skill. It happens, it shows observation. When a woman can read her husband clearly, that's a very good. That's one aspect of being a good wife. A very important aspect of being a good wife. That a woman can read her husband. She can see through without him saying anything. Without him saying anything. And actually, this is something specifically among the old Arabs. They say, marry a woman that you don't need to tell her what she needs to do. She can figure it out, but by seeing you. But just looking into your eyes, she knows what you want. So Umm Ruman was that type of wife with her husband, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So she explains to Khawla what Abu Bakr has in his mind. So she says, قالت أم رومان إن مطعم ابن عدي قد كان ذكرها على ابنه فوالله ما وعد وعدا قط فأخلفه لأبي بكر. She says, مطعم ابن عدي. You remember مطعم ابن عدي? Who remembers مطعم ابن عدي? Let's see. Let's check your memory. Test your memory. We mentioned him in the last two sessions. مطعم ابن عدي. مطعم ابن عدي. Who's مطعم ابن عدي? Anyone knows? When? Exactly. We said when the Prophet ﷺ came back from Ta'if, he was worried about Quraysh, right? After hearing about the incident, they might consider that to be an act of treason. So the Prophet ﷺ sought the help of مطعم ابن عدي. مطعم ابن عدي, one of the main leaders in Mecca. He went to the people of Mecca, he said, Muhammad is under my protection. Let him in. Let him in. And no one could violate this protection. So مطعم ابن عدي, the wife of Abu Bakr is saying, so she's saying that مطعم ابن عدي mentioned Aisha. And he expressed some intention to Abu Bakr that he wants Aisha for his son. And in that culture at the time, if a man approaches another man and he mentions the daughter of that man and he mentions his own son, this is some kind of an engagement. If there is no objection is given straight away, okay, someone says, oh, you have a beautiful daughter, I think she suits my son. If you don't say anything to the contrary, that is somehow of a verbal agreement. There's something there. There is something there. So something has been mentioned. Then she says, فَوَاللَّهِ مَا وَعَدَ وَعْدًا قَطْ فَأَخْلَفَهُ لِأَبِي بَكْرٍ. She says, مُطْعِم ibn Adi has been very faithful to Abu Bakr. Anytime he gave a promise, he gave a word, he would keep it. So Abu Bakr, there's a commitment now. There's a commitment with مُطْعِم ibn Adi with regards to Aisha. So she figured out that Abu Bakr is going to solve this, he's going to sort this out before he gives any answer. فَدَخَلَ أَبُو بَكْرٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ عَلَى مُطْعِمِ ابْنِ عَدِي. The Prophet ﷺ Abu Bakr رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ goes to the house of مُطْعِم ابْنُ عَدِي. وَعِنْدَهُ امْرَأَتُهُ أُمُّ الْفَتَى. And his wife is there. The wife of مُطْعِم ابْنُ عَدِي is sitting with him. As Abu Bakr seeks permission and he goes into the house, who speaks first? The wife. She's the mother of that son. فَقَالَتْ يَبْنَ أَبِي قُحَافَة. She addresses Abu Bakr. لعلك مصب صاحبنا أي مدخله في دينك الذي أنت عليه إن تزوج إليك. She's saying, I'm afraid that you're gonna make our son apostate, meaning become Muslim, right? You're gonna make our son apostate and follow Muhammad if he marries your daughter. This is an insult. A woman does not speak like this to a guest, especially in the presence of her husband as well. This is a violation. It's a disrespect. قال أبو بكر للمطعم بن عدي. So Abu Bakr now addresses her husband. Says, I mean, you have to say something here. So he says, أقول هذه تقول. He's saying, I'm saying, did you hear what she just said? قال المطعم إنها تقول ذلك. Al-Mut'im, her husband, said, she indeed says that. Basically, what he means here, he's implying she has a point. She's right. So Abu Bakr doesn't respond anything to that. He leaves the house. That's disrespect. And this basically breaks that engagement for him. فخرج من عنده وقد أذهب الله عز وجل ما كان في نفسه من عدته التي وعده. So he leaves the house and he has no issue with regards to that commitment. It's gone because they broke it now with that kind of statement. فرجع فقال ادعي لي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. So he goes back straight to his house where Khawla is still there with his wife. He says to her, go and get the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم to come over to my house. So the Prophet ﷺ comes and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu gives a commitment to the Prophet ﷺ to marry Aisha. He actually marries Aisha to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then Khawla leaves the house of Abu Bakr. What does she go to? The house of Sauda bintu Zam'a. Sauda bintu Zam'a, the other woman that she mentioned. So she goes to her and she says the same thing. She says, ماذا أدخل الله عز وجل عليك من الخير والبركة. Allah has brought so much goodness and blessings your way and into your house. She says, وما ذاك, what's this? قالت أرسلني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أخطيبك إليه. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم sent me to you to seek your hand in marriage. قالت وودت. She said and she liked it. Like she said she liked it and she said, أدخلي إلى أبي فاذكري ذاك له. She said, go to my dad is in this room. Go and enter on my dad and mention this to him. And she says, وَوَدَّتْ. And she liked it. She wants that. وَكَانَ شَيْخًا كَبِيرًا قَدْ أَدْرَكَهُ السِّنِّ قَدْ تَخَلَّفَ عَنِ الْحَجِّ. These are the days of Hajj. And he was an old man. He didn't go for Hajj because he was old, very old, weak to go. فَدَخَلَتْ عَلَيْهِ. So she went, she goes. Khawla goes into that room. فَحَيَّتْهُ بِتَحِيَّةِ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ. She gave him a greeting from the greetings of the people of Quraysh, of Jahiliyyah. Like it would be عمت صباحا أو عمت مساء. Good morning, good evening. فقال من هذه. He doesn't even recognize it. He says, who's this? قلت خولة بنت حكيم. She introduces herself. I'm خولة بنت حكيم. قال فما شأنك. What's going on? قالت أرسلني محمد بن عبد الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أخطب عليه سودة. Muhammad sent me to seek your daughter Sauda in marriage. Ask for her in marriage. قال كفؤ كريم. He deserves her. He's good enough for her. And he's a noble person, a generous person, Muhammad. ماذا تقول صاحبتك. What does she say? What does Sauda say? So since you came to me, you must have spoken to her. He figured out. قلت تحب ذلك. She likes it. She's up for that. قال ادعيها إلي. So he says, call my daughter to me. She comes. قال أي بني إن هذه تزعم أن محمد بن عبد الله ابن عبد المطلب قد أرسل يخطبك وهو كفء كريم. أتحبين أن أزوجك به. So he says to his daughter, listen my daughter, this woman claims that Muhammad ibn Abdullah is asking for your hand in marriage, and he's very good and he's a generous, noble person. Would you like me to marry you to him? قالت سودة نعم. She said yes. قال ادعيه لي. So he says to خولة, let him come to me. فجاء رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Prophet ﷺ comes to him. فزوجها إياه. So he comes, the Prophet ﷺ comes to his house and the man agrees to the marriage and he marries his daughter to the Prophet ﷺ. Done deal. She has a brother. Sauda has a brother. His name is Abd ibn Zam'a. He was in Hajj during these days. He comes back. He finds that, where's my sister? Oh, she got married to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What does he do? He's non-Muslim. Hates Muslims. He doesn't like Islam. As soon as he hears that, he takes sand and he puts it on his head as a sign of mourning. Like, what is this? Like, this is a calamity. You gave your daughter to Muhammad? He's blaming his father. Later on, this guy becomes a Muslim. He becomes a companion, a Sahabi. And he says to himself, he says, إِنِّي لَسَفِيهٌ يَوْمَ أَحْثِي فِي رَأْسِ التُّرَابِ أَن تَزَوَّجَ رَسُولَ سَوْدَ بِنْتُ زَمْعَ. He says, I was so stupid. I was so foolish that one day when I realized the Prophet ﷺ married my sister Sauda, that I started putting, you know, sand in my hair. So now the Prophet ﷺ lives with his new wife Sauda bint Zam'a radiyallahu anha. She says, "Tazawwajani Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam mutawaffa Khadija." The Prophet ﷺ married me after the death of his wife Khadija. قبل مخرجه إلى المدينة بسنتين. Oh, sorry. This is Aisha radiyallahu anha. She says the Prophet ﷺ married me, that basically asked for my hand in marriage, after the death of Khadija, before the Hijrah, 2 years before the Hijrah, 2 years before the Hijrah. But the Prophet ﷺ now lives with his new wife Sauda, and Khadija was too young to consummate the marriage. So this was an engagement. Aisha radiyallahu anha, the marriage would be later on when she reaches puberty. So the Prophet ﷺ is with his wife now, Sauda bint Zam'a, and that obviously makes it easier for him. Now he has a wife. He has a person to confide in, someone to speak to, someone in a reason to look forward to go back home after a very hard, challenging day. Find someone who could really, who could listen to him, someone who could comfort him and be there for him. But the Prophet ﷺ, despite being just a newlywed person, he would not compromise on his tasks to convey the message to these Arabs. So the Prophet ﷺ still reaches out and he approaches these Arabs in their camps, especially the pilgrims. So he goes, and now Ali ibn Abi Talib is mentioning a story. These are the two instances of beautiful examples of what the Prophet ﷺ used to encounter. Some of the encounters with these Arabs were very negative, or these people were very passive. They didn't give any positive response. But some of these encounters were very beautiful and positive, and the Prophet ﷺ has beautiful memories about them. Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu mentions two of them. He mentions two of them. So let's talk about them. So Ali ibn Abi Talib says, لما أمر الله تبارك وتعالى رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يعرض نفسه على قبائل العرب وأنا معه وأبو بكر. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the Prophet ﷺ to keep approaching these Arab tribes and seek their protection and seek their help, I was with him and Abu Bakr, both of us. So it was the Prophet ﷺ, Abu Bakr, and Ali radiyallahu anhuma. فدفعنا إلى مجلس من مجالس العرب. So we approached this group of the Arabs. فتقدم أبو بكر. Abu Bakr would speak, would be in the front, and he would speak for the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And there's a reason. وكان مقدما في كل خير. And Ali says, and Abu Bakr was always in the front with everything that was good. That's the relationship between Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه and Ali ibn Abi Talib. وكان رجلا نسابة. And he was a man who knew the different tribes of the Arabs and their lineage and their ancestry and their, you know, family trees and so on and so forth. That's a science, by the way. And still here until today. And there are books written about that. And most of the Arabs today can still trace back all of their ancestry back to about more than 1400 years back, actually about 2000 years. Most of the Arabs now. It's an exception when you find Arabs who don't know exactly where their ancestry comes from. So all around the Arab world today, you're going to find people. Even not only Arabs in the Arab world, but there are Arabs who move to other places as well. So you have Arabs who live in Iran, for example. Because the southern part of Iran has always been an Arab place, by the way. Arabs have always lived there. People think that Arabs immigrated later on. No, but what is called what's called Al-Ahwaz, South Iran, that's been inhabited by Arabs from the older times. From the older times. So there were Arab tribes. There are a lot of Arab tribes in Africa, different parts of Africa. There's a lot of Arabs in India and Pakistan. Still, a lot of the Desi families trace their ancestry back to Arab origins. You will have a lot of Arab ancestry. Anyway, you have in Indonesia. In Indonesia, by the way, there are a few big families that have been living in Indonesia for about 300 years. And these people are Arabs. And they still have their ancestry recorded. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was an expert when it came to an-nasab, al-ansab, okay, to the ancestry and the families and how they're related and how they're connected and their forefathers and so on and so forth, and their history as well, each tribe and its history and everything. So he was very well informed about this. And that's the way to speak to Arabs. If you speak to them about their ancestry and about their history, you have their attention. You have their respect. They have this as like, it's just like when you say today someone has got, what would be like a very good science, that if someone excels in the science, everyone respects them. You could say, okay, medicine, for example. Something like that. So people would straight away respect you if you had this knowledge. So وَكَانَ رَجُلًا نَسَّابًا Abu Bakr had knowledge about the families and the tribes. فَسَلَّمْ So Abu Bakr gave them salam, he greeted them. وَقَالَ مِمَّنِ الْقَوْمِ He says, where are you guys from? قَالُوا مِنْ رَبِيعَ From the tribe of Rabi'ah. Rabi'ah is a very massive big tribe. These people live mainly, they lived in the northern part of the Arabian Peninsula, the south of Iraq as well, south of Bilad al-Sham, where Jordan is as well. These the tribe of Rabi'ah. And they lived in the northern part of the Arabian Peninsula as well. So it's a very huge tribe and it has many different clans with it, you know, divisions. So Abu Bakr is asking, he says, وَأَيُّ رَبِيعَةٍ أَنْتُمْ Which Rabi'ah you are from? Because Rabi'ah is so big. So which Rabi'ah you are from? أَمِنْ هَامِهَا أَمْ مِنْ لَهَازِمِهَا Are you from the main core part of Rabi'ah or are you from the fringes? قَالُوا مِنَ الْهَامَةِ الْعُظْمَى They say, we are from the core of it, the best core of it. فَقَالَ أَبُو بَكْرٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ And he knows which core, because there are different cores. All of these are terminology, by the way. So he knows about their tribe and the divisions in their tribe, and he knows about their history, and he's going to show this. فَقَالَ أَبُو بَكْرٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ وَأَيُّهَا مَاتِهَا الْعُظْمَى أَنْتُمْ He says, which of their core, you know, divisions you are from? قَالُوا مِنْ ذُهَلِ الْأَكْبَرِ They said, from ذُهَل, the major, or the biggest ذُهَل. قَالَ أَبُو بَكْرٍ So Abu Bakr is asking them, مِنْكُمْ عَوْفٌ الَّذِي يُقَالُ لَهُ لَا حُرَّ بِوَادِ عَوْفٍ Is the person Auf, called Auf, is he from you? When it was said, there was a proverb among the Arabs that there is no one free in the valley of Auf. Why? Because Auf was a very powerful man in the sense that he would subjugate everyone. قَالُوا لَا They said, no, he's not from us. Like, our lineage doesn't go back to him. قَالَ فَمِنْكُمْ جَسَّاسُ بْنُ مُرَّةِ جَسَّاسُ بْنُ مُرَّةِ is from a faction called Shayban. Shayban is a division within the tribe of Rabi'ah. Jassas ibn Murrah is a very famous, very powerful warrior among them. فَمِنْكُمْ جَسَّاسُ ibn Murrah حَامِ الذِّمَارُ وَمَانِعُ الْجَارِ Okay, is Jassas ibn Murrah one of you? He is the protector of all countries of his own families and the one who supports, you know, the neighbors and neighboring tribes. قَالُوا لَا They said, no, he's not from us. قَالَ فَمِنْكُمْ بَسْطَامُ بْنُ قَيْسِ أَبُوَ اللِّوَاءِ وَمُنْتَهَى الْأَحْيَاءِ He said, the famous warrior Bastam ibn Qais, is he from among you? They said, no. قَالَ فَمِنْكُمُ الْحَوْفَزَانِ قَاتِلُ الْمُلُوكِ وَسَالِبُهَا أَنفُسُهَا He said, الْحَوْفَزَانِ, is he one of you? He used to kill kings. All of these are powerful warriors who have history. قَالُوا لَا They said, no. قَالَ فَمِنْكُمُ الْمُزْدَلِفِ صَاحِبُ الْعَمَامَةِ الْمُنْفَرِدَةِ He said, Al-Muzdalif, is he one of you, the one who is famous for his turban? There must be a story behind this turban. قَالُوا لَا They said, no. قَالَ أَخْوَالُ الْمُلُوكِ مِنْ كِنْدَ He said, you are the paternal or the maternal uncles of the tribe of Kinda. Because Kinda has a beautiful history and it's somehow linked to their maternal uncles. They said, no. قَالَ أَصْحَابُ الْمُلُوكِ مِنْ لَخَمْ You are, like from among you, are the kings of the tribe of Lakham? They said, no. So Abu Bakr looks at them and he says, فَلَسْتُمْ مِنْ ذُهَلِ الْأَكْبَرِ He says, you are not from the big ذُهَل. You're not. If all of these people, none of them is from you, then you're not what you claim, guys. لَسْتُمْ مِنْ ذُهَلِ الْأَكْبَرِ بَلْ أَنْتُمْ مِنْ ذُهَلِ الْأَصْغَرِ Basically, you're not from the core, you're from the fringes. And the Arabs have this pride issue when it comes to lineage. And Ibn Khaldun, rahimahullah, in his book Al-Muqaddima, the famous, you know, sociologist, the first sociologist ever in history, Ibn Khaldun, in his famous book Al-Muqaddima, he actually says, أَكَلَ الْعَرَبُ الإبل فاكتسبوا منها الكبر والأنفة. The Arabs ate camels and thus they developed pride. They developed pride. وأكل الترك الخيل فاكتسبوا منها القوة والوحشية. And the Turks ate horses. And thus they became very strong warriors, very powerful in warfare. So actually there's a theory, there used to be there, Ibn al-Qayyim even talked about it. He said, when humans or when a people eat a certain animal, they actually develop some of its traits. The Prophet ﷺ actually, he said, الْخُيَلَاءُ فِي أَهْلِ الْإِبِلِ وَالتَّوَاضُعُ وَالرَّحْمَةُ فِي أَهْلِ الْغَنَمِ. The Prophet ﷺ said that you will find pride and arrogance among the people of camels. People who eat camels and have, mainly their cattle are made of camels, then they're going to develop the pride of a camel, the arrogance of a camel. And whereas the people who keep their cattle as mainly sheep, these people are going to have humbleness and easygoingness, just like sheep. Okay? Anyway. So basically Abu Bakr, he said, so you guys are not from Dhuhal al-Akbar, you're not from the core ones, the most famous of divisions of this tribe. Antum min Dhuhal al-Asghar, you are from one of the small tribes in the fringes. فَقَامَ إِلَيْهِ غُلَامٌ مِنْ بَنِي شَيْبَانِ يُقَالُ لَهُ دُغْفُلْ. So one of them, one of this group from Banu Rabi'a, we said Shayban is a division from Banu Rabi'a. So he marches forward and he wants to speak to Abu Bakr. His name is Dughful. So he looks at Abu Bakr and he says, إِنَّ عَلَى سَائِلِنَا أَن نَسَلَهُ. This is their accent is different. They have a different accent in Arabic. إِنَّ عَلَى سَائِلِنَا أَن نَسَلَهُ. The one who asked us, we have to ask him back. وَالْعَبُّ لَا نَعْرِفُهُ أَوْ نَجْهَلَهُ. And the person, that if we don't know him, then we don't know him. By the way, in Arabic, for those who know Arabic, نجهلوه. That's the standard Arabic, نجهلوه. But for their accent, these people, is نجهله. And this accent is still there among the Bedouins. Still there among the Bedouins. So, then he says to Abu Bakr, he says, يَا هَذَا. He says, like, hey, buddy. قَدْ سَأَلْتَنَا فَأَخْبَرْنَاكَ. You have asked us questions and we've answered your questions. وَلَمْ نَكْتُمْكَ شَيْئًا. We didn't hide anything. We were so honest and truthful. فَمِمَّنَ الرَّجُلُ. Who are you from? Where are you from? قَالَ أَبُو بَكْرَ أَنَا مِنْ قُرَيْشِ. He says, I'm from Quraysh. The man says, بَخِن. أَهْلُ الشَّرَفِ وَالرِّيَاسَ. He says, these are the leaders. Quraysh are the leaders of the Arabs. And فَمِنْ أَيِّ الْقُرَشِيِّينَ أَنْتَ. Which part of Quraysh? Which division of Quraysh you are from? قال أبو بكر ولد تيم ابن مرة. I'm from the children of تيم ابن مرة. Those are Bani Tamim, one of the divisions of Quraysh. فقال الفتى أمكنت والله الرامي من سواء الثغرة. He says, basically I'm gonna paraphrase, he says, you're stuck now. I got you. I got you now. He says, أمنكم قصي الذي جمع القبائل من فهر فكان يدعى في قريش المجمعة. He says, قصي. Is he from among you? Is he in your lineage? قصي is one of the forefathers of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Okay, and he's the one who basically gathered Quraysh, because there was a division between the children. Quraysh, his name was Fihr. Fihr, he's the great-grandfather of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And he's called Quraysh. Fihr is called Quraysh. His children had some disputes. From among them was Qusay. Qusay was the strongest. So he kicked his brothers out. So they lived outside, around the outskirts of Mecca, and he took over Mecca. And this is where the Prophet ﷺ comes from, his lineage. So he's considered to be the most noble, the children of Qusay considered to be the most noble, the core of Quraysh. But Banu Tamim are not from his lineage. Okay? They are cousins, but they're not from Qusay. So now the young man also has knowledge about Quraysh. So he's gonna give back the same treatment to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So he says, is Qusay from you? He says, no. Abu Bakr says, no. قال لا. قال فمنكم هشام الذي هشم الثريد لقومه ورجال مكة مسنتون عجاف. He says هشام, also one of the forefathers of the Prophet ﷺ. Is he in your lineage? Is he one of you, the one who offered food to the people when Mecca was in a state of starvation? Abu Bakr قال لا. He said no. He says فمنكم شيبة الحمد عبد المطلب. He says عبد المطلب, is he from among you? مطعم الطير في السماء الذي كان وجهه القمر يضيء في ليلة الداجية. He says is عبد المطلب, the grandfather of the Prophet, is he from among you? He's the one who used to feed the birds in the sky and his face was so radiant just like the full moon. قال أبو بكر لا. أبو بكر said لا, no. فقال أفمن أهل الإفاضة بالناس أنتم. He said, are you from the people who help the pilgrims come from Arafat to Muzdalifa in Hajj, in pilgrims? Do you lead them? He says قال لا. He says no. قال أفمن أهل الحجابة أنتم. He says, are you from the people who basically look after the Kaaba and provide the clothing for it? Al-Hijaba. قال لا. He said no. He says, أفمن أهل السقاية أنتم. He says, are you from among the people, Abu Bakr, your tribe, is it from among the people who offer water to the pilgrims? قال لا. Abu Bakr said no. قال أفمن أهل النداوة أو الندوة أنتم. He says, are you from the Dar al-Nadwa? Are you involved in Dar al-Nadwa, which is basically like the parliament, the decision-making place in Mecca? Is your tribe part of Dar al-Nadwa? قال لا. He says no. قال أفمن أهل الرفادة أنتم. He says, are you from the people who every time Quraysh used to give money out to the pilgrims, buy food and so on and so forth? This is called the rifada. Are you from the people who give rifada, who offer this to the pilgrims? قال لا. He said no. Now Abu Bakr, what does he do? He holds his camel and he turns back. He leaves the man, because the man has just given him exactly the same treatment. But Abu Bakr didn't mean ill, but these people claimed something they were not. But anyway, so the young man, Ghulam, young man, a teenager, this is a teenager, he doesn't let Abu Bakr just go just like that. So he gives him a line of poetry that's very powerful. He says, صادف در السيل درا يدفعه يهضبه حينا وحينا يصدعه. He says, you thought you were such a powerful river or tide that is going to overwhelm us, but you found a more powerful tide to push you back. Sometimes it pushes you back and sometimes it just breaks you back. So that's what he said to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Then he says to Abu Bakr, أَمَا وَاللَّهِ لَوْ ثَبَتَّ لَأَخْبَرْتُكَ مَنْ قُرَيْشِ. Then he says to Abu Bakr, if you had the courage to stay standing in front of me, I would have told you who the real Quraysh are. The Prophet ﷺ smiles. The Prophet ﷺ is watching all of this and he smiles. Then Ali radiallahu anhu makes a comment. He says to Abu Bakr, he says, Ya Aba Bakr, لقد وقعت من الأعرابي على باقعة. He says, oh Abu Bakr, you know, you have fallen with the wrong person, basically. You've got yourself stuck with the wrong person. فقال أبو بكر رضي الله عنه أجل يا أبا الحسن. Indeed, أبو الحسن is the kunya of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Indeed, ما من طامة إلا وفوقها طامة. He says there's no, like, basically what he means here, like, there's no calamity if you test people, a bigger test is gonna come back to you. Then he says والبلاء موكل بالمنطق. And he says calamity and disasters come as a result of tongue, of the words that people say. And that's a powerful statement. We don't need to explain it because it could take such a long time. Regardless, but this was an encounter with these people. An encounter with these people. But it seems, okay, the atmosphere wasn't, or they didn't get positive response from them. قال علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه ثم دفعنا إلى مجلس آخر. We moved on to another group of people. عليهم السكينة والوقار. There's so much respect and serenity around them as they were seated. فتقدم أبو بكر فسلم. أبو بكر, as usual, he is the spokesperson. He approaches them and he greets them. And he says, فممن القوم, who are the people? قالوا من شيبان بن ثعلبة. from the children of Shayban ibn Thalaba. Shayban are basically, these are a division from Rabi'ah, from the same tribe, but this is just a different division. These people, Shayban, Banu Shayban, by the way, Imam Ahmad is from this lineage. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal al-Shaybani, he comes from this tribe. These people, they're originally from the children of Wa'il ibn Bakr, one of the main tribes in the Arabian Peninsula. They moved north to Iraq. These people lived, okay, Banu Shayban, they lived in Al-Mosul, this area, what they call in North Iraq, and what is now known as South Turkey. Basically, where supposedly Turkmenistan is supposed to be at, where the Turkmens are. Now, this is where this tribe used to live, okay? And it's called Banu Diyaru Bakr. This is called Diyaru Bakr. So if anyone reads Arabic history, if you hear about Diyaru Bakr, this is where it is. It's what's known today as northern Iraq and South Turkey, in that area. And by the way, Banu Shayban, they were part of Harb al-Basus. Anyone knows Harb al-Basus among the Arabs? The famous long, you know, battles that were among the Arabs that were established for insignificant reasons, right? So these Shayban were actually part of one of these wars. Were part of one of those wars. So Abu Bakr, when he asked them, where are you from? They say, Min Shayban ibn Thalaba. They say, well, the children of Shayban ibn Thalaba. Abu Bakr turns to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he's very excited. فَالْتَفَتَ أَبُو بَكْرٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ إِلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَقَالَ بِأَبِي أَنْتَ وَأُمِّي هَؤُلَاءِ غُرَرُ النَّاسِ فِيهِمْ مَفْرُوقُ بْنُ عَمْرٍ وَهَانِي ابْنُ قَبِيصَةٍ وَالْمُثَنَّى بْنُ حَارِثَةٍ وَالنُّعْمَانُ بْنُ شُرَيْكَ. So Abu Bakr turns to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he says, may my father and mother be a sacrifice for you, O Messenger of Allah. These are the best of people. These are the best people to approach. Among them is Mafruq ibn Amr, one of their famous leaders, and he was there among them. Wahani ibn Qabisa, another one of their leaders. Walmuthanna ibn Haritha. Walnu'man ibn Sharik, four people. Anyone knows Al-Muthanna ibn Haritha? Al-Muthanna ibn Haritha? Okay, and what? Exactly, he becomes one of the most important Muslim leaders fighting against the Persian Empire. He becomes the leader. He becomes the leader and he dies just before Ma'rakat al-Qadisiyyah. Before the Battle of Qadisiyyah, he dies. So he takes part in the Ma'rakah and the Battle of Dhiqar, the first battle the Muslims ever fight against the Persian Empire. Well, yeah, he was the leader of the Battle of Al-Jisr, actually. He was the leader, excellent. He was the leader of the Battle of Al-Jisr. So, but their main leader was Mafruq. Mafruq, so Abu Bakr says, وَكَانَ مَفْرُوقٌ قَدْ غَلَبَهُمْ جَمَالًا وَحُسْنًا. Their leader is Mafruq, and he's the most handsome among them. He's their leader. وَكَانَتْ لَهُ غَدِيرَتَانِ. He has two hair locks that are resting on his shoulders, on his chest. وَكَانَ أَدْنَى الْقَوْمِ مَجْلِسًا. Mafruq was the closest. فقال أبو بكر رضي الله عنه كيف العدد فيكم. The Prophet, Abu Bakr doesn't need to ask them now. He knows about their lineage. So he says, how are your numbers? مفروق answers. قال مفروق إنا لنزيد على ألف ولن تغلب ألف من قلة. He says, we are more than 1,000 and 1,000 cannot be defeated, cannot be outnumbered. فقال أبو بكر كيف الحرب بينكم وبين عدوكم. Abu Bakr says, how is the war between you and your enemies? قال مفروق إنا لأشد ما نكون لقاء حين نغضب وإنا لنؤثر الجياد على الأولاد والسلاح على اللقاح والنصر من عند الله يدلنا مرة ويدلي علينا أخرى لعلك أخا قريش. What does this mean? So Abu Bakr asks them, how is the state between you, the conditions between you and your enemies? Mafruq, who's their leader, he says, when we get angry, no one can stand in our face. We're very vicious warriors. And we prefer riding our horses rather than spend time with our kids. Basically, we prefer war to staying at home. وَالسِّلَاحَ عَلَى اللِّقَاحِ. and we give preference to our weapons over our wives. وَالنَّصْرُ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ وَالنَّصْرُ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ And these are non-Muslims. And victory comes from Allah. Sometimes Allah gives us power over our enemies. Sometimes He gives them power over us. Now, Banu Shayban, by the way, a lot of the Arabs, the Arabs today in Iraq are actually from Banu Shayban. A lot of the Arabs today trace their lineage back, who live in Iraq, trace their lineage back to specifically Banu Shayban, to Banu Shayban. So, and they know their tribes. They know their tribes very well. Then he says to Abu Bakr, he addresses the Prophet ﷺ, and he says, لَعَلَّكَ أَخَا قُرَيْشِ He says to the Prophet ﷺ, I guess you are, you know, the man in Quraysh, that Quraysh have been talking about. All of this, you know, all this noise is all about you. Abu Bakr says, then you have heard that he's the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Indeed he is. That's what Abu Bakr says. Indeed he is the messenger of Allah. Qala Mafruq. Mafruq says, he addresses. So he says, قَدْ بَلَغَنَا أَنَّهُ يَذْكُرُ ذَاكَ فَإِلَى مَا تَدْعُوا يَا أَخَا قُرَيْشِ So Mafruq doesn't say anything. He's heard all the lies about the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Listen how he approaches the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he says, yes, we have heard something about him. But he addresses the Prophet and he says, What do you call people to? What do you call people to? فَتَقَدَّمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ The Prophet ﷺ steps forward. فَجَلَسْ And then he sits down. Abu Bakr stands by the Prophet ﷺ to keep him in the shade. وَقَامَ أَبُو بَكْرٍ يُظِلُّهُ بِثَوْبِهِ فَقَامَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ ﷺ وَقَالْ The Prophet ﷺ speaks to them and he says, أَدْعُوكُمْ إِلَى شَهَادَةِ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ I call you to testify that none has the right to be worshipped but Allah without any partner. And وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ And that Muhammad is his servant and his messenger. وَإِلَىٰ أَن تُؤْوُونِي And that you give me shelter. وَتَنْصُرُونِي You give me protection and help. فَإِنَّ قُرَيْشًا قَدْ ظَاهَرَتْ عَلَىٰ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ Quraysh have rebelled against the order and the religion of Allah. وَكَذَّبَتْ رُسُلَهُ And they have believed in his messenger. وَاسْتَغْنَتْ بِالْبَاطِلِ عَنِ الْحَقِّ And they chose falsehood over truth. وَاللَّهُ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ And Allah is غني حميد. Allah doesn't need them and Allah deserves all praise. قال مفروق وَإِلَى مَا تَدْعُوا يَا أَخَا قُرَيْشِ فَوَاللَّهِ مَا سَمِعْتُ كَلَامًا أَحْسَنَ مِنْ هَذَا He says, so what exactly are you calling people or inviting people to? I've never heard any words better than your words. I have never heard anything better than your words. فَتَلَى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ The Prophet ﷺ recited some verses from Surah Al-An'am. قُلْ تَعَالَوْا أَتْلُوا مَا حَرَّمَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ أَلَّا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ مِنْ إِمْلَاقٍ نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكُمْ وَإِيَّاهُمْ وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الْفَوَاحِشَ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنَ وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ He says, the meaning of the verse, say to them, come, so I relate to you what Allah made haram for you, made prohibited for you, that you associate partners with Allah. That's haram. And Allah commands you to be good and respectful to your parents, and that you do not kill your children out of fear of poverty and lack and need, because Allah gives them provision, Allah gives you provision. And do not even get close to acts of lewdness and to vices, whether they are apparent or hidden. And do not وَلَا تَقْتُلُ And do not kill the innocent soul that Allah made haram, except with a justified reason. This is what Allah advises you so that you may understand. So Mafruq, when he hears this, he says, وَإِلَى مَا تَدْعُونَ يَا أَخَا قُرَيْشِ He says, give me more, basically. What else do you call to? فَوَاللَّهِ مَا هَذَا مِنْ كَلَامِ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ He says, what else do you call to? These are not the words of the people of this earth. And by the way, those people, Banu Shayban and their bigger tribe, Rabi'ah, many of them were Christian. At some stage, they embraced Christianity. So there's a lot of traces of Christianity among them. So he says, these are not the words of the people of this earth. So the Prophet ﷺ recites another verse from Surah An-Nahl this time. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغِيِ يَعِظُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. He says, Allah indeed commands you with justice and with goodness, and that you help and support the people who are related to you, your kin. And Allah prohibits you from vices and lewdness, and from oppression and injustice. Look at what the Prophet ﷺ calls him to. Tawheed, to witness that Muhammad ﷺ is the Messenger of Allah. Then what does he call to? The principles of Islam, the ethical principles of Islam, and the beautiful legislations of Islam. So what is the response of Mafruq, the leader of Banu Shayban now? What does he say? He says, دَعَوْتَ وَاللَّهِ يَا أَخَا قُرَيْشٍ إِلَى مَكَارِمِ الْأَخْلَاقِ وَمَحَاسِنِ الْأَعْمَالِ. He says, وَاللَّهِ, O brother. He says, oh, to the Prophet ﷺ, O brother. وَاللَّهِ, you have called to the best of manners and to the best of deeds. وَلَقَدْ أَفِكَ قَوْمٌ كَذَّبُوكَ وَظَهَرُ عَلَيْكَ. And any people who have disbelieved in you, rejected you, and they had enmity towards you, they are liars. They are liars. They are the liars. And then he stops there. So Ali ibn Abi Talib says, وَكَأَنَّهُ أَحَبَّ أَنْ يُشْرِكَهُ فِي الْكَلَامِ هَانِ ابْنُ قَبِيصَةِ. He stopped there, but he showed some interest that the other person, one of their leaders, Hani ibn Qabisa, also says something here. So what does he say? He says, وَهَذَا هَانِئٌ شَيْخُنَا. And this is our sheikh. Okay? This is the person who's responsible for the religious affairs. Hani ibn Qabisa. هَذَا شَيْخُنَا وَصَاحِبُ دِينِنَا. He is in charge of our religious affairs. So Hani ibn Qabisa speaks. He says, لَقَدْ سَمِعْتُ مَقَالَتَكَ يَا أَخَا قُرَيْشِ. He says, O brother, I have heard your words. I've heard your words. وَإِنِّي أَرَى أَنَّ تَرْكَنَا دِينَنَا وَاتِّبَاعَنَا دِينَكَ لِمَجْلِسٍ جَلَسْتَهُ إِلَيْنَا لَيْسَ لَهُ أَوَّلٌ وَلَا آخِرٌ أَنَّهُ زَلَلٌ فِي الرَّأْيِ وَقِلَّةُ نَظَرٍ فِي الْعَاقِبَةِ. He says, and I see that we leave our religion and follow your religion just because of one conversation. Just one conversation that has no beginning, no end. It's such a small time or a short time. He says, this is not a good judgment to make a hasty decision. And we need to, you know, consider the consequences of whatever decision we make. We need to have an insight to see what are the consequences. Then he says, وَإِنَّمَا تَكُونُ الزَّلَّةُ مَعَ الْعَجَلَةِ. And he says, and usually people slip when they are hasty. وَمِنْ وَرَائِنَا قَوْمٌ نَكْرَهُ أَنْ نَعْقِدَ عَلَيْهِمْ عَقْدًا وَلَكِنْ نَرْجِعُ وَتَرْجِعُ وَنَنْظُرُ. So he's saying, there are people behind us. Our tribe, the whole tribe is behind us. We can't make a decision without them. So we go back to them, we consult with them, and you go back and you think about your affairs. Then Ali ibn Abi Talib says, وَكَأَنَّهُ أَحَبَّ أَنْ يُشْرِكَهُ الْمُثَنَّ بْنُ حَارِثَةِ. So he wants Al-Muthanna now to speak as well. He doesn't want to be the only one who gives that kind of answer. So Al-Muthanna, then he says, وَهَذَا الْمُثَنَّ بْنُ حَارِثَةِ صَاحِبُ شَيْخُنَا وَصَاحِبُ حَرْبِنَا. Okay, he's our sheikh and he is the military leader among us. فقال المثنى بن حارث. المثنى speaks and he says, the Muthanna inshallah is going to become one of the leaders of the Muslims later on. He says, سمعت مقالتك يا أخا قريش. He said, I heard your words, O brother. والجواب في جواب هاني ابن قبيصة. And he says, my answer is the same answer as هاني ابن قبيصة. في تركنا ديننا ومتابعتك على دينك. That we straight like make a quick decision, we adopt your religion and leave our religion just like that. That's not the right decision, or it's not a wise decision. Then he says, وَإِنَّا إِنَّمَا نَزَلْنَا بَيْنَ صَرْيَيْنَ الْيَمَامَ وَالسُّمَامَ. And he says, we have connections with two areas. الْيَمَامَ, which is sort of, exactly, the east of the Arabian Peninsula. وَالسُّمَامَ, which is to the north of it, which is Iraq. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هذا قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هذان الصريان. What are these two areas? فقال المثنى أنهار كسرى. He says, basically we have a division that's called the rivers in Iraq, the Euphrates specifically. Okay, the Euphrates creates a division between these two areas. So he says, فأما ما كان من أنهار كسرى فذنب صاحبه مغفور وعنده مقبول. وإنما نزلنا على عهد أخذه علينا ألا نحدث حدثا ولا نؤوي محدثا محدثا. So he says basically the areas that we have connections with beyond the Euphrates is Kisra, the king of Persia, the king of Persia, and he has his own law system. In his own law system, whoever is in good terms with him, then whatever he does, there's no sin on him, there's no punishment, and he accepts him. So he says we have an agreement with him that he allows us to stay close and to come to his area and to stay neighbors to him, but with one condition, that we should not bring a new affair, basically a new political or religious affair. Then he says, وَإِنِّي أَرَى أَنَّ هَذَا الْأَمْرَ الَّذِي تَدْعُونَ إِلَيْهِ يَا قُرَشِي مِمَّا يَكْرَهُهُ الْمُلُوكُ. Then he says to the Prophet ﷺ, says, and I see that what you are calling us to, this is something that the kings hate. Why? Because it's going to take over. This is something the kings hate. So then he gives the Prophet ﷺ an offer. He makes an offer to the Prophet ﷺ, and he says, فَإِنْ أَحْبَبْتَ, if you love, if you wish, أَنْ نُؤْوِيَكَ وَنَنْصُرَكَ مِمَّا يَلِي مِيَاهَ الْعَرَبِ فَعَلْنَا. If you want, what we can offer you now, we're not going to take your religion, but if you accept, in the area before the river, okay, which is the Arab lands, we can give you protection there if you want that. We can give you protection there. So he says, we're not going to become Muslims straight away. Okay, we're not going to think, as we said. We'll discuss this. Leave it till next year. But what we can offer you now, we can give you protection there. If you join us, we'll give you protection in the lands of the Arabs there. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمْ مَا أَسَأْتُمْ فِي الرَّدِّ إِذْ أَفْصَحْتُمْ بِالصَّدْقِ. The Prophet ﷺ said, you have given a very good, beautiful response. And you have been truthful. You've been honest. You've been honest. Then he says, وَإِنَّ دِينَ اللَّهِ لَنْ يَنْصُرَهُ إِلَّا مَنْ حَاطَهُ مِنْ جَمِيعِ جَوَانِبِهِ. And the religion of Allah will not be helped, will not be supported by someone, okay, who doesn't help it in every land. You need to give me an unconditional protection. Not only in the land of the Arabs, but in any land. Then the Prophet ﷺ says, أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ لَمْ تَلْبَثُوا إِلَّا قَلِيلًا حَتَّى يُورِثَكُمُ اللَّهُ أَرْضَهُمْ وَدِيَارَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ وَيُفْرِشَكُمْ نِسَاءَهُمْ أَتُسَبِّحُونَ اللَّهَ وَتُقَدِّسُونَهُ. So they say, the Prophet ﷺ says to them, if you just be patient and hold on to this affair that I'm calling you to, soon Allah will give you their lands and their wealth and even their people. And then the Prophet ﷺ says, if Allah promises you this, would you glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and accept Islam? فَقَالَ النُعْمَانُ بْنُ شُرَيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ فَلَكَ ذَلِكَ. Their fourth leader, النُعْمَانُ بْنُ شُرَيْكَ, he says, indeed, you will have this. Basically, what he's saying, next year when we will think about all of this, and next year we'll give you the answer. So we're still in the same condition. So the Prophet ﷺ says, he recites a verse, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ شَاهِدًا وَمُبَشِّرًا وَنَذِيرًا. O Messenger of Allah, we have sent you as a witness and as someone who brings about good tidings and warnings to people. So the Prophet ﷺ is saying, I've conveyed the message. ثُمَّ نَهَضَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ قَابِضًا عَلَى يَدِ أَبِي بَكْرٍ. The Prophet ﷺ leaves them, okay, because the meeting is over. And he holds the hand of Abu Bakr and he says, يَا أَبَا بَكْرٍ أَيَّةُ أَخْلَاقٍ فِي الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ مَا أَشْرَفَهَا. The Prophet ﷺ says, يَا أَبَا بَكْرٍ, what beautiful manners these people have in jahiliyyah. What beautiful manners these people have in their jahiliyyah. How noble their manners are. بِهَا يَدْفَعُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ بَأْسَ بَعْضِهِمْ عَنْ بَعْضٍ. With these manners, with these principles these people have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes them protect the weaker ones among them. وَبِهَا يَتَحَاجَزُونَ فِيمَا بَيْنَهُمْ. And this is these manners that keep them alive, that they don't kill, destroy one another. قَالَ عَلِيٌّ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. Ali ibn Abi Talib is narrating this story. So I want to stop here and just... You see, these are two positive meanings, meetings the Prophet ﷺ had. One with Banu Rabi'ah, the biggest, okay, tribe, and then with one clan from among them, Shaybah. But this was probably one of the most beautiful meetings the Prophet ﷺ had with an Arab tribe. These are people who didn't say anything wrong about the Prophet ﷺ. They gave him a very good, beautiful reception. They listened to what he had to say. And they did not make a swifty or a quick decision. They said, we need to think about that because we have people behind us. We can't make a decision on their behalf. And it would be so hasty and unwise to make such a decision in a haste. We're going to go back. And they didn't offer the Prophet ﷺ false hope. So they were so honest and they were so respectful. And they said, like the Mafruq, their leader, he said to the Prophet ﷺ, you know, what you say, I've never heard anything better than that. I've never heard anything like this. And he said, these are not the words of the people of this earth. So the Prophet ﷺ was very impressed with their manners, very impressed with their demeanor and the way they carried themselves. Then Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu says, فَدَفَعْنَا إِلَى مَجْلِسِ الْأَوْسِ وَالْخَزْرَجِ. After meeting these people, we found a group from Al-Aws and Al-Khazraj who came from Yathrib, which is known as Medina now. But at the time, it was mainly known as Yathrib. So he said, we moved to them. فَمَا نَهَضْنَا حَتَّى بَايَعُوا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. So he says, we met Al-Aws and Al-Khazraj, and they gave us their bay'ah in that meeting. They believed. It was that was the same day. That was the same day. And we're going to talk about this story, inshallah. We'll talk about the story, how they gave the Prophet ﷺ the bay'ah. But there is a comment here Ali ibn Abi Talib makes. He says, فَلَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَقَدْ سُرَّ بِمَا كَانَ مِنْ أَبِي بَكْرٍ وَمَعْرِفَتِهِ بِأَنْسَابِهِمْ. Ali ibn Abi Talib says, and I found the Prophet ﷺ was so pleased and so happy with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and his knowledge about the Arabs and their tribes and their history and their people. That helped the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So, how did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam approach Al-Aws and Al-Khazraj? Shall we stop here and go to the potluck? You guys are hungry? See, the younger ones are all hungry. Khalas, I'm not going to let you down. So inshallah, so next week inshallah, we'll find out how the Prophet ﷺ approached Al-Aws and Al-Khazraj. What did he say to them? And what was their response and their reply? Okay, don't stand up, don't leave. There is something you need to listen to. So by the way, we have a couple of questions, so we're not done. Basically a covenant. What does that mean? That means it's more of a promise. It's a word that I'm upon the truth, and I'm going to stay upon the truth. I will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone and obey the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I will not engage in sins and I will do my obligations. That's what a bay'ah means. So it's your covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, okay, especially in the early days, it was given like directly. And the Prophet would shake the hands of that person. But later on, خلاص, your shahada is your covenant. When you say, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله, أشهد أن محمد رسول الله, that was the bay'ah. That was the bay'ah. So any Muslim who says, لا إله إلا الله, محمد رسول الله, that's their bay'ah. It's an agreement with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a contract between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, that's when it's extended. Some circles do it, like with a sheikh. They say it's full obedience to the sheikh and so on and so forth. But this is actually, the scholars have pointed out, there's no bay'ah in Islam, except if there is a Muslim leader in a country where you live, and you give him a bay'ah that you obey him in the truth only. So it's only for the Muslim political leader, as someone who runs the country in a sense. So that's the only form of bay'ah that's valid. But giving bay'ah to a jama'ah, to a group, giving bay'ah to a sheikh, is not from the sunnah. Is not from the sunnah. It's something that was actually done by Ahl Bid'ah. Okay, the people of innovation. They brought these things to sort of have control over some of their followers. But it's not. Shouldn't be the case. Yeah. Any other question? We'll take one more if there is. There's no question? خلاص طيب جزاكم الله خير وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Enjoy the food.